find it difficult to give ourselves permission to rest because there are always things to do, you know, and we have to accept that we are never going to get to the end of our to-do lists because that's just life.
It's often said that 20 minutes of meditation, conscious rest, is equivalent to about 3 to 4 hours of deep sleep. How can we afford not to have a moment to rest as a choice?
We need sleep. We all know that. But what about rest? What's the difference, actually? And is there a way to find enough time to unwind and relax in our busy modern lives to make them better? I'm Chris Chambers, and this is The Art of Sleep, an original podcast series by Rituals. We'll be taking you deep into the world of sleep and everything that's connected to it, from body clocks to the perfect bedroom and the science of rest. Rest is an art in and of itself. Just doing nothing seems incredibly difficult these days. There is just simply too much to do, and not enough hours in the day. As adults, we often look longingly back at our childhoods where the days seem to stretch endlessly before us. Where did all of that time in which we do nothing go? Well, Dagmar Brusser is with me. She's the creative director at Rituals, and we're going to drift off into the world of sleep, and in this case, rest, with the help of experts and professionals to see if we can understand it better. Dagmar, what does rest mean to you?
Rest to me means doing something I really like. If I do something that I really feel passionate about, then a sort of calm overcomes me. Afterwards, I also feel very energized. Could be gardening, could be singing, could be anything.
And how much time do you actually make for it in your working day, these little moments of rest?
Well, not enough at all. I've been trying to make time for lunch and to make sure that I have a little space in between meetings because sometimes they're back to back. You know, making like 15 minutes in between meetings or even 30 minutes and just do something different.
What about rituals more generally? Is that something you encourage staff to do?
The brand is very much focused not only on well-being for consumers, but also for their own people. We have an app, you know, meditation, guided meditation, all for free. You can follow yoga classes on our YouTube channel. And then we have our head of innovations, or our director of innovations, Nikki, who will do a weekly yoga session or meditation session that you can attend. It's really a huge part of our DNA. The whole brand is very much focused on creating that rest for their consumers, to help them find that moment for themselves, to let everything around you fall away, to do a home spa or just focus on meditation or just to take that moment for yourself. It's just cutting yourself out from the frenzy of the world around you.
One person who has thought a lot about rest and why it's important if we're to be as productive as possible is the journalist and author Claudia Hammond, who's written a book called The Art of Rest. And she explains what resting actually means.
So when I'm talking about rest, I mean the kind of thing we do while we're awake, not asleep. It's any activity where you feel you can stop, you can slow down, where you stop worrying about the things that are going around in your head, and afterwards you feel refreshed and replenished in some way. So it could be something very active, like running, for example. Some people find that they can't really rest their mind until they have exerted their body physically. Or it could be lying on the sofa and doing nothing at all. For different people, those could both be restful.
So rest is different from sleep, which makes sense. A few years ago, Claudia joined a number of composers and artists and geographers and historians and psychologists, and they all came together to look at the topic of rest from different perspectives. They came up with the Rest Test, an online survey designed to get people to think about rest. 18,000 people all over the world responded, and the results were really quite surprising.
it was really interesting the sorts of things that people picked. So 8% of people said that they found running restful, even though you might think running involves a lot of energy. We also found things like being in nature. Walking was very restful for a lot of people. Having a hot bath. And I think when you look at all of these activities and what they have in common, they kind of give you a clue as to the essence of rest. And I think one of the things about it is that it allows you permission not to do anything, permission not to achieve something else. Reading came top, which is interesting because that is cognitively effortful. You need to concentrate. But it is also such a form of escapism. It takes you away from your own worries and into, you know, the lives of other people and gives you a distraction and takes you somewhere completely different. And I think those are all things that are key to resting. One of the things we want when we rest is to just stop those thoughts that go round and round in your head and to take some time to slow down in a way.
But is it in our nature to rest? After all, we are industrious creatures, aren't we?
So 2/3 of the people told us that they wanted more rest, that they felt too busy and that they wanted to be able to slow down. 9% of people told us they felt guilty whenever they rested. And people told us how much rest they got. And those who got about 5 to 6 hours of rest the previous day had well-being levels twice as high as those who didn't get as much rest. And they also had well-being levels higher than those who got too much rest. So it seems that it's the balance, it's that rhythm of busyness and rest that really matters.
And there were a lot of other surprises as well, especially in terms of what was missing from the list.
There were some surprises about what wasn't in the top 10. For example, spending time with pets, that came at number 12. Socialising with friends came at 13. Chatting came at 19. Drinking socially and eating were at 20 and 21. So we were surprised that those things weren't in the top 10. And also surprised that the top 5 activities were all things that people tend to do on their own. And so we have to remember, I think, that this wasn't about what activities do people enjoy the most, it's about which activities do people find the most restful. And so I think it's very telling that what people possibly want in order to rest is a bit of a break from other people.
Well, I have to confess that I like a bit of a break from others as well. Dagmar, I think you probably do too, don't you?
Absolutely. I'm sort of a person of extremes. I need a lot of people around me to help me feel energized. I really get a lot of energy from other people. But there's also a point where I just really need complete solo time. And I really need that balance. It's really all about creating that time for yourself. It's so important because that's the only way that you can find rest, is to be in your own bubble, to be by yourself, to do the things that you love and then let all else go.
Okay, so we want rest and we need it. We feel it when we need it. But it's also good for our brains to take a break.
It's also good for us cognitively. So breaks have been demonstrated in lots of experiments to be very good for our memories, for example. And so in one study, they get people to learn lists of words, and then they either have a 10-minute break in a darkened room or they're given another task, not a difficult task, but just a distracting one to do instead. And then they're asked how many words they can remember, a very straightforward memory test. And the people who have the breaks score considerably higher on the memory tests afterwards. And that is completely remarkable, that you could make such a transformation to someone's memory just from having a 10-minute break. So I think we need to start taking rest much more seriously, and we need to start taking breaks much more seriously.
But the timing of your break is just as important as taking one.
One thing that people often do is to delay your breaks as a reward for when you've finished. In fact, because having breaks improves your productivity, what you should do is stop while you're still doing the busy thing. Have your very quick break then, come back and you'll be able to finish it off faster.
Ah, now, just one minute, I need to deal with this. Okay, there, that's that done. Right, where were we? There was one other surprising thing in the survey. Screens.
It was really telling, I thought, that even when we gave people a completely blank box to write in any activity they wanted to, anything to do with, you know, social media or being online or being on a computer, didn't come in the top 20 at all. So watching TV did come at number 9, but nothing else with screens was involved. There are some massive benefits from it that people can get. But I think people know that they might enjoy it, but we seem to know that it's not inherently restful. There are all these things competing for your attention, messages from different people coming into you in loads of different forms and different ways. That can feel as if you're required to do things and can feel inherently unrestful because other people are deciding when you do that. So I think that having some time not at the beck and call of our screens is a good idea.
Well, okay, I'll just put my phone away then. Dagmar, what do you think about all of this then? That it's interesting, isn't it, that the top 10 restful things to do there did not involve using a screen.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Screens are stressful and they distract you. If I look at myself, it's the same. I don't think, oh, let me go and watch my screen or let me go and, you know, watch Instagram because it's so relaxing. If I do the things I love, I definitely don't need a screen. You know, there are exceptions, of course. I can imagine that if you want to follow a guided meditation that you need your app. But in general, screens, they're quite distracting.
So what are some things we can do to put more rest into our lives? One of the reasons Claudia thinks reading was the number one restful activity is because it allows people to escape from themselves and their own worries. And escaping from your own mind seems to be a really crucial part of resting. That's also something that fascinates our next guest, Michael James Wong. He's a meditation coach and helps people find ways of winding down during the day so they can get the most out of their careers. And he also distinguishes between sleep and making the conscious decision to rest.
Conscious rest is exactly the opposite of sleep. Sleep is an unconscious state, but conscious rest, it's a choice, right? So it's an active choice to quiet the mind and to de-stimulate and de-stress the system.
It's really just choosing to do less for a specific period of time.
So this practice of meditation that I would sit here for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I'm making a choice to remove myself from the indulging distractions of my own mind, thinking about what else I need to do that day. What you're doing is you're showing yourself the value of turning volumes down. Because we live our lives, actions of doing, do this, do this, do this, do this. And so if we don't create practices, like a meditation practice, that instigate the capacity for us to not do, or a state of non-doing, we cannot expand the space in which we can feel rested, restored, and relieved from the activities of everyday life.
But this isn't just a one-off thing that can be done randomly. It requires discipline.
The technique is relatively easy. The effort to commit to it is where the challenge comes in, or the dedication comes in. You know, meditation is a muscle just like your biceps and your triceps, right? In order to allow these practices to grow, we need to create consistency, right? It's a bit like brushing your teeth, consistency. We need to commit to the time, to understand the value, but at the same time, have the dedication and appreciation that it is the repetition that creates the positivity and the benefit in the long run. One of the most common things I hear so often when I'm sitting down with people is that I'm too busy to meditate. I've got too much going on to meditate. Everything is about commoditizing our time. But we have to remember that in order for us to use time well, it all comes from a sense of decision-making, right? Mental clarity, acuity, a sense of, attuned choices. And that is what conscious rest practices do. That's what the value of meditation is. And it creates a sharpness in the mind. It creates a vibrancy in our life. It allows us to really understand the choices in front of us. It gives us perspective, and therefore it allows us to make better choices with our time.
Michael says we can choose to use that time for conscious rest, doing things like going for a walk and really paying attention to the sounds you hear, the twit of the chickadee or the chatter of the squirrel, the wind rattling in the dry leaves of the poplar. It doesn't necessarily need to be the traditional view of meditation we have, of sitting cross-legged on the ground with our eyes closed. It's the consciousness of our choice to do so that will help us, even beyond while we're resting.
One thing that we often forget, and we need to remind ourselves always, is these types of practices or moments that we have in our day, the benefit is that not actually just found in that 20 minutes. The benefit is found in the half an hour after, the hour after, the rest of the day after. I feel more awake. Colors seem brighter. I'm more engaged. I remember people's names. I feel excited and enlivened to go about my day. Then the practice adds value. The practice is value. And that's really what we want to start to shift in people's perspectives around creating conscious rest, is that we see both value within it, but even more, we feel the after value, the after effect. And your boss or your friends are like, you seem a little less stressed today. Like, you're not as argumentative today. And if we spend a lot of our lives in the state of, in the action of doing, and we forget what it's like to just be, to just breathe, then we continue to remove ourselves from the opportunity to have a completely rested state of living. And from that rested state of living, when we do choose to come back and to create actions, interact with friends and family, create relationships, put practices in motion, they become so much more impactful, so much more dedicated, so much more enlivened, and they become a beautiful thing. It's often said that 20 minutes of meditation, conscious rest, is equivalent to about 3 to 4 hours of deep sleep. How can we afford not to have a moment to rest as a choice?
I think what people need to do is to, one, accept that rest is good for them, and that in particular that it's good for their mental health. And so I think it's a question of working out what are the activities or the combination of activities, it needn't just be one, that you personally find the most restful. And these will be different for everybody. And then to prescribe yourself 15 minutes of this favourite restful activity each day. I love gardening. It's the thing I find the most restful. And so if I'm working at home, I will prescribe myself 15 minutes of gardening. I now don't feel guilty about that, because I think I know that this is good for my mental health and that it will actually help me when I'm trying to work later on.
Very wise. Dagmar, what have you learned today? What's the thing you're going to take away with you?
Well, the beauty actually of that whole rest part is that it's been at the core of our philosophy of rituals for 20 years. We've been trying to help people see how valuable it is to slow down, to take a step back and pay attention to the little things. Because it is in those moments that you create for yourself, that you actually recharge yourself with the energy to be more creative. That moment for yourself is the most valuable thing you can do. Many people will say, but I don't have the time. Well, you have to make time for it. We, as a brand, try to say, take time for yourself, because it's not only very much worth it, and it will, in the end, improve your all-over well-being.
Well, I must say, it's been fun, and I think I've learned a great deal too. And I'd like to leave you with one last small, simple thing from Claudia about finding time and rest in the least likely of places.
I think one of the things that we can do is to spot any wasted time, if you like, where you're made to waste your time, and to reframe that as rest, and to spot the moments when you get to rest. You have gone to collect your parcel from somewhere and there's a queue at the sorting office and you think, this is really annoying, this is going to take 10 minutes. But to reframe that and think, this is a 10-minute break that I wasn't expecting. And so maybe it's the right thing to decide, this is my rest. I'm going to have my 10 minutes rest. I'm not going to be frustrated. And it's a rest, isn't that a bonus?
Thank Thanks for listening to The Art of Sleep, an original podcast brought to you by Rituals. Learn more about how sleep and relaxing enriches your day at rituals.com/podcast. I'm Chris Chambers. Thanks for listening.